Well, we're on the telephone with Lois Wright Morton, professor of rural sociology at Iowa State University. And Lois, wanted to visit with you about the third National Climate Assessment report, which was released today. And I understand that there were some major contributions to that report from Iowa State University faculty, including yourself, that you co-authored the chapter on rural communities. Now, from what I saw here, it's the first time that this assessment has really talked about rural communities.
Yes. This is one of the first recognitions that rural communities and the issues that they face that are associated with a variable climate may be very different than what some of our urban communities or even our suburban communities are experiencing.
Okay, so talk about some of those differences and why the impact on rural communities may be even greater.
Well, if you think about the U.S. land area, about 95% of it is classified as rural, and yet it really is only home to about 19% of the population. So rural communities and people that live in rural places are really the stewards or the closely tied to our natural resource base. And so one of the things that we did in preparation to writing this rural communities chapter was to convene almost 150 scientists and practitioners that have experience and expertise in rural communities across the United States to get an understanding of what were the challenges that they were experiencing. And all of them are very closely allied to the natural resource base as an asset, whether we're talking about agriculture, which of course in our region is one of our really valuable natural resource base, but other places have forests, have mountains, have seashores, and many of those assets influence whether a community is vulnerable or whether it actually has the capacity to respond to these variations in long-term weather patterns and climate changing.
Of course, the report warns that this situation is probably going to worsen as we go along here. Do you make recommendations on what rural communities should be doing at this point?
Well, we do, but we actually, it's chapter 14 in the National Climate Assessment. So if people are really interested in reading that in more detail, it's the National Climate Assessment is a very huge document if you've looked at it. And so chapter 14 is the chapter where we talk about some of the findings that we have. And we actually have three major messages that I think really have implications for the kind of adaptation and the kind of responses that we have. The first one I talked with just a few minutes ago, that rural communities are very dependent upon their natural resource base, not only for their livelihoods, but it really is part of their social structure. And the impacts of climate over the next century and in the past, what we'll see is a shift in locations where rural economic activity, such as agriculture, forestry, recreation, can thrive. We already see a difference in an extension in the growing season and changes in the kinds of agricultural crops that can be grown. Secondly, rural communities have both geographic and demographic obstacles that really make them more vulnerable. And this really has to do with the fact that rural places are often physically isolated. They have limited economic diversity, which means that they may only have one or two economic drivers that are providing livelihoods for rural people. And they have higher poverty rates, as well as an aging population. So all of those really make it more difficult for rural populations to respond and to have the capacity. Thirdly, in order for adaptation to happen in rural places, we have transportation issues, we have infrastructure issues that go with emergency response systems and The ability of rural governments often have both funding and human resource limitations that really make it difficult for them to anticipate changes in the climate. So those are really the three big areas that we think rural places need to deal with and need to think about. The thing to remember is that there's extreme variation across the whole United States in rural places. Some rural places will actually benefit from this change. You may find that going to the beach in Maine is a lot nicer than perhaps has been in the past if you're looking for a warmer climate. We'll find that some communities lose their rural amenity for being a travel or a tourist destination because it'll be too hot, too dry, not enough water. There'll be water security issues, flooding, drought issues that will play into that. But there'll be, I don't really want to call them winners and losers, it'll be a shift in the kinds of activities, both economic and social and recreational, that can happen as that climate changes. If it rains more frequently, then the kinds of things that you're able to do outdoors and the kinds of things that happen to the rural landscape are different than if you've moved into drought or you've moved into a different kind of climate. I would encourage people to not to, particularly if you're thinking about rural communities, and in the upper Midwest, agriculture is closely aligned to the health and the vitality of rural communities. So I think people would also want to look at the agricultural chapter and look at the kinds of changes that will happen to our cropping systems and to the kinds of varieties and the management practices that we put in place, because that will have a lot of influence on how a community or even a region can respond. I am the project director for the USDA Climate and Corn-Based Cropping System Project. We call it the Sustainable Corn Project. And that's one of the things that we're looking at pretty closely is agriculture in the Corn Belt. So we're looking at the corn-soybean rotation and what are the practices that we can put on the ground in terms of controlled drainage, in terms of tillage, cover crops, extended rotations with, say, wheat. How can those give our agricultural livelihoods more resilience, our more capacity to withstand the extreme flooding that then changes into dry periods and drought. And so I think that project, we're into our fourth year and are beginning to find some really interesting things about how agricultural systems will respond to the change in temperature and precipitation.